woman to be married to this man? The wedding service is found on page 275 in the front part of your hymnal, page 275. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and before His church to witness the union of this man and this woman in holy matrimony. This is an honorable estate instituted and blessed by God in paradise before humanity's fall into sin. In marriage, we see the picture of the communion between Christ and His bride, the church. Our Lord blessed and honored marriage with His presence and His first miracle at Cana of Galilee. This estate is also commended to us by the Apostle Paul as good and honorable. Therefore, marriage is not to be entered into inadvisedly or lightly, but reverently, deliberately, and in accordance with the purposes for which it was instituted by God. The union of husband and wife in heart, body, and mind is intended by God for the mutual companionship, help, and support that each person ought to receive from the other, both in prosperity and adversity. Marriage was also ordained so that man and woman may find delight in one another. Therefore, all persons who marry shall take a spouse in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, for God has not called us to impurity, but holiness. God also established marriage for the procreation of children, who are to be brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, so that they may offer Him their praise. For these reasons, God has established this holy estate that Seth and Mackenzie wish to enter. They desire our prayers as they begin their marriage in the Lord's name and with His blessing. Congregation may be seated. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the second chapter of the book of Genesis. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle lesson is the entirety of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be God. Our Holy Gospel lesson comes from the 19th chapter of St. Matthew. Jesus answered the Pharisees, "Have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, 'Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our sermon hymn is number 816. 816. The final verse of that hymn, we will stand. 816. a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Seth, Mackenzie, friends and family gathered from near and far, a wonderful trumpet and organist up there, thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text on this day of joy is the Old Testament lesson you selected from Genesis chapter 2. The creation of man, the creation of woman, the creation of marriage. Dear friends in Christ, like a cadence, like a drumbeat, on each and every day of creation we hear the refrain, "And God saw that it was good." The moon and the sun are good. The animals, they're good. The land and the seas, even they're good. But on the sixth day of creation, when God is at the very end of His work, He finds one thing, and one thing alone, that is not good, that is incomplete. You see, His creation is not yet finished. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." Think about it. The entire universe has been set in place. The planets are in their order. The laws of physics have been established. The ecosystem is in perfect balance. But yet, there is something not good, because the man is alone. Now notice, it isn't the man that voices the concern. We guys are kind of thick. It is God who sees this deficiency. And then He promises to rectify it. "I will make him a helper fit for him." Man doesn't know it. Man doesn't quite get it. But he is alone. He is utterly alone. He is one half of a whole. He is fundamentally incomplete. He needs a helper fit for him. You see, he needs companionship in this world. One like him, but yet different. To be an object of his love, his care, his compassion. He needs a helper. He needs a savior from his loneliness. He also needs assistance in fulfilling the great command of the Lord, which will be given by God Himself: "Be fruitful and multiply, fill this earth and subdue it." It makes little sense for God to give such a command if the man is left alone. And after the fall into sin, there'll be another reason that man needs woman, and they need each other. He needs her, they each need each other, as an antidote to sin, to help them avoid the slavery, the destruction of sinful lust. It is God who notices this deficiency, not the man. And it is God who promises to do something about it. For most, He provides as He did for the first man, as He does this very day: the gift of a wife, a bride, a helper fit for him. This is a helper corresponding to him, like him, yet unlike, like two sides of a coin, two pieces of a puzzle. It is a helper that fits together with him, that complements him in every way. And so God brings to Adam all the animals, one after another, so that he could make an exhaustive search for this helper that God told him he needed. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. You see, no animal, no other creature, no matter how beloved, could complete humanity. No animal could provide all that the man needed. God must give him something special, taken from him to be the perfect complement. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. God gives the woman as a gift to the man. The man doesn't take her in the passion of sinful lust, but he receives her as she is, a gift. And the man receives her with joy, breaking forth into poetry, into song. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. She is the perfect helper, the perfect complement, the perfect savior from his loneliness because she was taken from the man himself. And Moses, the author, reflects on this great mystery in the last words of our text. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Woman was taken from man to be the helper corresponding to him, and thus, for the rest of creation, women and men will be joined back together as one flesh. This day, you, Seth, and you, Mackenzie, intend to enter this blessed estate, established even before the fall into sin. This day you leave your families, separating from their households to form your own, publicly in front of all these people, taking up new vocations, husband and wife. You, Seth, take up the vocation of loving your wife as Christ has loved the church. We've talked about that, haven't we? Giving up your life for her, sacrificing yourself with your selfish desires and sinful passions for her good. You will let nothing and no one be more important than the marriage that is today established. Not your job, not your friends, not golf, not anything. And you, Mackenzie, you take up the vocation of submitting to your husband as Christ, as the church submits to Christ. Giving up your pride, your sinful desire to be in charge, and instead in love and joy, allowing your husband to lead your household. Knowing that he lays down his life for you. Here, before God and all the world, you publicly declare that you will live together as husband and wife, making promises, taking vows. We've got a couple coming up here. It is this public act, this objective fact of this day that remains true throughout all the ups and downs that are ahead. And there are many ups and downs ahead, for better or for worse, sickness and in health. God has joined you together here, this place, this altar, June 4th, 2016. And what God has joined together, let not man separate. This day also, you declare your love for one another. Just as Moses teaches us that a man leaves his father and his mother and holds fast to his wife. You hold fast in love. And not just any love, but the love of Jesus Christ himself. It is this love that sustains a marriage. For this love doesn't come from inside of you, it comes from outside. It comes from the cross, from the very wounds of Jesus Christ. And so this love is sacrificial, always placing the other and their needs ahead of your own. It is this love that is forgiving, founded on admitting sin and forgiving it. And this is the love that all Christians are to show to their neighbors, all Christians. And on this day, you are declaring before all these people, before God Himself, that you have a new closest neighbor. Each other. You will love each other by denying yourselves, by putting your pride to death. And don't think this is easy. Don't think you can do this on your own. You cannot give to each other what you haven't first received. Therefore, it is this very place where you receive the love that you then pour into your marriage. The very love and forgiveness of Jesus Himself coming from this altar, from this pulpit, from this lectern, from this place into your marriage so that you can love and forgive one another. And then finally, Moses teaches us that after man leaves his father and his mother, holds fast to his wife, they shall become one flesh. This day you declare publicly that you will live together as one flesh. A man doesn't take a woman whenever he wants to. He receives his bride as a gift from God Himself. And together, man and woman then bring forth new life as God grants it, giving expression to God's commission in the garden. Be fruitful and multiply. St. Paul was right. We didn't read that text today, but he's right when he says of marriage, this mystery is profound. The mystery of woman taken from man only to be joined back together as one flesh is profound. But then Paul quickly adds, I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. You see, the mystery is that from this day forward, you are publicly showing forth in your own lives together the very gospel itself. You see, man was left alone on the sixth day, but humanity, all of us, were left alone after the fall into sin, estranged from the God who created us and subject to death and eternal damnation. But the bridegroom sought out his bride, God's lonely people, and Jesus Christ took flesh to pay the price, to buy us back from the bondage of sin and death, paying that price with his own blood. Now risen from the dead, our bridegroom washes us pure as Mackenzie's dress in the waters of holy baptism, and he presents us to himself as a radiant bride, invited to the marriage supper, the big party that has no end. This promise is for you, Seth, for you, Mackenzie. And your marriage preaches, it proclaims that reality to a world trapped in the darkness of sin. You love each other as Christ has loved you and gave himself up for you, dying and rising again to abolish sin and death for you, for me, for the entire world. In the name of Jesus, amen. Seth, will you have this woman to be your wedded wife, to live together in the holy estate of matrimony as God ordained it? Will you nourish and cherish her as Christ loved his body, the church, giving himself up for her? Will you love, honor, keep her in sickness and in health, and, forsaking all others, remain united to her alone, so long as you both shall live? If so, then say, I will.
I will.
Mackenzie, will you have this man to be your wedded husband, to live together in the holy estate of matrimony as God ordained it? Will you submit to him as the church submits to Christ? Will you love, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, and, forsaking all others, remain united to him alone as long as you both shall live? Then say, I will. Face each other. Repeat after me. I, Seth, take you, Mackenzie, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death us do part, according to God's holy will. And I pledge to you my faithfulness.
I, Mackenzie,
take you, Seth,
to be my wedded husband,
to have and to hold, from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death us do part, according to God's holy will. And I pledge to you my faithfulness. The rings. Almighty Father, you have generously created all things to serve us for our good. Send your blessing upon this couple who shall wear these rings as a constant reminder of their marital fidelity. Grant that by your mercy they may live gladly and faithfully in this holy estate. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Repeat after me. Receive this ring.
Receive this ring.
As a pledge and token.
As a pledge and token.
Of wedded love and faithfulness.
Wedded love and faithfulness.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Son.
And of the Holy Spirit.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Receive this ring.
Receive this ring.
As a pledge and token.
Of wedded love and faithfulness.
In the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Son.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You may face the altar. Now that Seth and Mackenzie have committed themselves to each other in holy matrimony, have given themselves to each other by their solemn pledges, and have declared the same before God and these witnesses, I pronounce them to be husband and wife. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What God has joined together, let no one put asunder. Amen. The Almighty and gracious God abundantly grant you His favor, and sanctify and bless you with the blessing given to Adam and Eve in paradise, that you may please Him in both body and soul, and live together in holy love until your life's end. Amen. At this time, we will sing hymn number 922. You will notice that there is a wedding verse on the facing page. We will sing the first verse, the wedding verse, and then the fourth verse. First verse, wedding verse, and the fourth verse.
Thank you.
for prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, our Heavenly Father, grant that by Your blessing, Seth and Mackenzie may live together according to Your word and promise. Strengthen them in faithfulness and love toward each other. Sustain, defend them in every trial and temptation. Help them to live in faith toward You, in the communion of Your holy church, and in loving service to each other, that they may ever enjoy Your heavenly blessing. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, our dwelling place in all generations, look with favor upon the homes of our land. Embrace husbands and wives, parents and children, in the arms of Your love, and grant that each, in reverence for Christ, fulfill the duties You have given. Bless our homes that they may ever be a shelter for the defenseless, a fortress for the tempted, a resting place for the weary, and a foretaste of our eternal home with You. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray as Christ our Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give to you peace. Amen. You may now kiss your bride.